This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Elmels Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So John Sterling and Neil Coulong now joins us. Tuesdays with Neil is always must-listen-to radio. Sir, welcome.
As always, the thin slice of heaven to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and we do define thin slice. All right, so here we are. We're now here. The blue-white game's over with. The concentration's on the transfer portal and the draft. The draft itself. Quarterbacks are going to dominate the first part of this draft. Okay, so they'll dominate the first part of it, but is it worth it? Based on the people that are there and the people that need to pick them?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody just earlier today about this. I find it interesting. Every year what ends up happening is your latest mock draft, like your mid to late April mock draft, will find a way to put four quarterbacks with the first four picks.
Right.
This is the time in which you would think the evaluation has been done. Whatever legitimate info you're getting from anybody is at its peak. You know, the most of it is out there. You have the most amount of information on which to ask questions. And you've seen every iteration of every mock draft, yet they'll do the one thing that has not happened in the history of the draft, which is draft four quarterbacks in the first four picks. It seems quarterbacks might have an emphasis in this game. I don't know. Maybe that's something to do with that. But I honestly, talent-wise, I don't think that this is the exception to every other draft class. You know, I don't think this group stands out all that much.
I
think
agree.
There's one at the top that we know of for sure. I think two through four, you can probably separate fairly easily, but I don't think two and three are as great of prospects as people think that they are. Now, I think there are three teams that would love to have a quarterback, and I think the team drafting fourth isn't one of them. Their reasons are their own, and that's a situation which a team that really values that fourth quarterback is in a position to move up, especially if it's not too far. I mean, the one I'm referencing has the Giants jumping up two spots to grab J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
The question you have to ask yourself as far as if you're the Giants, you know, the Cardinals are sitting there and they're probably going to talk to every team this week. If you're the Cardinals, you would love to be able to move down to get one of the two players I would assume would be at the top of their board.
Right.
It makes sense for them. For the Giants, they're paying Daniel Jones a lot of money. They can get out of the contract, which is to say they can take a lot of dead money that they've already paid the guy to not be on their team after they trade up to draft a guy at four. And they're going to give up assets for the right to do that.
Yeah.
Higher scenario, that fits with J.J. McCarthy? I don't think it does. I think J.J. McCarthy is probably a 10, 11, 12 level pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he will be unsuccessful in the NFL, although most of them aren't. I just don't see a whole lot of exceptional ability and projected ability coming off of him to justify giving up that much at a time where, you know, granted, the general manager didn't draft Daniel Jones, but he paid him. So yeah. it's a situation where I don't know why the Giants would do that. I don't know why the Cardinals would want to move down to where the Broncos are, 9, 10, somewhere in there, or the Vikings at 11. I don't know if they'd want to move down that far, or why, you know, Denver or Minnesota would feel they have to move up that far to get McCarthy. So, to me, I think there's a lot of hype going on, and I'm not – I probably just bashed J.J. McCarthy a lot more than I really feel about him as a player, but I don't think that happens. And to be honest, sub out McCarthy, I might even say the same thing about Drake May. I don't think Drake May is everything he's made out to be, although there's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of physical skill there. But there's a lot of rough tape, too. I don't think he's a day-one plug-and-play kind of guy. Do you want to give up assets for somebody like that? That's really the question. I understand where Patrick Mahomes came from. I understand the teams traded up, the Bills traded up for Josh Allen and let him, you know, work into the type of player he is now. There's something to be said about that. But you have to be pretty sure about somebody, and players like that have exceptional traits. I'm not sure J.J. McCarthy has exceptional traits. Drake May is a lot closer to that, but I don't know. Simply put, I don't think quarterbacks are going 1 through 4, but as usual, I think they're going to be kind of the linchpin of the draft. That's just sort of how it works.
Right.
Movement will occur. We'll see that. It wouldn't surprise me if you know, today, tomorrow, soon, we see somebody that moves up, and the target of that is probably going to be a quarterback, though I would say in a lot of ways, just based on who is where, the Cardinals kind of own the draft. You know, barring a trade, sure. I think we kind of know who 1 through 3 is most likely to be, and I don't think that any of those three teams will be interested in a trade. So I think, you know, 4 with Arizona is kind of the place to go. I don't know entirely if they would want a quarterback there, but you know, you never know with the draft, except for the fact that quarterbacks just don't go 1 through 4.
All right. So now this will be a tough question to answer because Neil and I don't talk about topics ahead of time. But give me, regardless of position, 3 guys that would be at the top of your board that you could build around. Which 3 guys might fall into that category where, you know what, it may not, it could be a quarterback, but if it's not a quarterback, doesn't matter. That you're like, you know what, I think that guy could step in and play now.
It's kind of cheating, but I think you do need to say Caleb Williams would fit that bill pretty well. If that's a gold standard, which it probably is, although I would say that I don't think that Williams is a better prospect per se than, say, Trevor Lawrence was coming into the NFL. Mm-hmm. That isn't to say that I think one is better than the other. I just think that Lawrence has better fundamentals overall than Williams has at this point in his career. If I was betting on one versus the other to make a Pro Bowl, I guess, I don't know how else you'd quantify that. Lawrence going into his rookie year would be my pick over Williams. So Williams, boatload of arm talent. You love what you see from him. You know, I don't know why. I mean, Marvin Harrison, I think, is about as accomplished and as known a wide receiver prospect as I've ever seen in a draft. And I've said that a couple times in the last 10 years. You and I have talked about this. It's remarkable how much that position has improved in this generation.
Yeah.
I remember saying when I was doing work covering the Steelers, I remember watching Odell Beckham and walking away from it thinking, like, this is the best college receiver I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does everything well. And that wasn't the case. They weren't really like that when they first came into the league. Rookies didn't contribute all that much. He blew up right away. He's just a phenomenal all-around player. And I've probably seen 5 better than him in college since then. And I think Harrison's probably one of them. But the real thing is Adunza is probably the same, on the same level as is Malik Nabers. So you're looking at 3 receivers that all of them are high-level guys. These are 100-plus target guys as rookies. I think they can be, you know, all route, all distance, high target, you know, 8-9 targets a game from the start. And it's exciting to watch them. Neighbors is my I'm biased. I'm a big fan of the LSU receivers. Different coaching staffs in and out. I've loved how they've developed their receivers. Ohio State obviously is excellent in that capacity as well. They're the tip of the spear. I don't know, you know, maybe that's another debate for another time, which one has done more overall, but Ohio State, mm-hmm. you know, probably has the edge nowadays. But you put Neighbors side by side with Harrison. I would almost rather be picking second in that because I wouldn't want to have to choose between one or the other. I'd rather just take the other one. The differences between the two I don't think are significant, but Harrison is as complete a receiver prospect you're ever going to see. He doesn't really have a flaw. Overall, just, you know, if the Chargers were to land him, I think you're hearing Jim Harbaugh saying, this is why I took this job. Everyone thinks it's Justin Herbert. It was where we were in the draft and my ability to get this guy drafting five, you know, not two, not three. I didn't have to say, is this position valuable enough? He didn't have to have that argument. He let the draft play itself out. Everyone else is going to do what they're going to do for the quarterbacks. I've got an elite level talent that's drafted for his abilities, drafted way lower than he should be in a vacuum. I think Neighbors is the exact same way. And then Odunza, you look at all three of them together, it's incredible how good they are. You know, just overall, these are guys that are going to step on the field right away and play. I probably went way off subject on that. But
because, look, I mean, I'm the type, Penn State has to get ready to play both Ohio State and Washington this year. I was very pleased when putting my charts together to get started that Marvin Harrison Jr. and Odunze are both going to be going to the NFL. I thought that's good. All right, I thought that was a big plus. Now the other two I haven't seen in person, but Harrison I've seen a lot of the last couple of years, and you know I know how badly in the recruiting process Penn State wanted him for obvious reasons. He's from Philadelphia. And he's smooth, has hands. I think I only saw him make a one drop in 3 years, maybe. And just, he gets himself open. I mean, I'm not saying he's a 4-3 guy, but he gets himself open. I think he gets himself open because he's so precise.
Yeah, just, you see a highly advanced, you know, I think the common thought is, this guy's got the right size. He's going to test at the right speed and agility, and you see him making highlight plays. But with Harrison, it's so much more. You got to recognize the focus he had. I mean, everybody in the country knew how big of a player he was. He was getting everything, and he fought through it. He fought through a double team every time he moved off the line. He took on triple teams. He was still highly effective in that regard, even though it's clear and obvious that this guy is such a weapon. You have to get him the ball 14, 15 times a game. Teams know exactly what's going to happen wherever he is on the field. And he was still dominant. And it's really not – he has exceptional physical traits for sure, but it's exactly as you put it. He has this incredibly rare level of footwork, certainly for his age and experience, although he's got plenty of experience now. He got the ball a ton throughout his college career, but he's just so perfectly fluid and balanced. A guy like that can do anything on the field. You know, he's not Randy Moss running vertical routes, but he can sell you on something inside and beat you to the outside and make a play down the field. He can run a hard slant, which I think between those two routes is really where the position is defined. If you can do both of those things, you are a very dangerous player. Because you can't just, you know, lean on one type of coverage all the time. He can go anywhere. He can play off the line. He can play off of coverage. He can play through press. There's nothing really that he can't do. And I can't get over the fact that he's probably going to go five by all accounts, although I would argue Arizona stays put and just takes him at four. I don't know why you wouldn't want that. Didn't Larry Fitzgerald go four?
Yeah,
I think Arizona knows something about receivers at that pick when they can do everything, which, to be honest, even for Larry Legend, he wasn't that accomplished of a receiver. He was really good. He's really big, but not the athlete that Harrison is. doesn't have the balance, the fluidity, the route running ability that Harrison has. He's well more advanced than a first ballot, complete 100% unanimous Hall of Fame receiver from 10 years ago. I should say 20 when he was drafted, but a remarkable player overall, and one that I think defines really the talent of this draft overall. I don't think it gets more talented than him.
All right, so now let's another wide-ranging question here. At the Peach Bowl, Jack Ham was talking to the players. And on the back, we rode on the defensive bus into practices and so forth. And he was talking about the draft, and he said, look, when the season was over, we played in a couple of All-Star games, and then the draft was a month after the season was over. And they looked at him like, what? No combine? No pro day? He goes, no, there's no combine, no pro day. Right? So now, of course, there's the combine, the pro day, the measurables they bring you into workout and so forth. And the draft is at the end of April. In some ways, just in terms of the thinking process, Neil, is this too much time for the scouts and the general managers to overthink everything out there?
I think that's up to them. You hear people saying that all the time. I mean, the schedule is the schedule. You know what it is. You can certainly put a lot more into a decision than you probably should. And it's not so much that the information could be incorrect, but it's more if you have the ability to determine further ahead of time the route you want to go, you'd want to do that and then prepare alternatives. You know, I would think that would be the way to go. I say that because they can come to an idea, and they probably do pretty quickly in the process, the general positions that they'll want to address. And from there, you're going to whittle it down to the players and their value based on your scouting, what round you'd put them in, and come up with, you know, generally speaking, these, call it 30 players that you're really looking at, and then focus on the alternatives from there. But I do think there comes a point where you can talk yourself out of measurable, noticeable, reasonable differences between one player and another. You should, in my opinion, have a lot of that ironed out. Now, if you want to put it down to a couple conversations in, to put it mildly, unique scenarios, like going out to dinner with a head coach and a general manager of an NFL team after your pro day workout. That's not a common day for a college kid, I wouldn't think. If you want that to be your guide as far as their character, their personality, everything like that, I guess you could do that. But summarizing it all, putting it all together, it almost seems like you really need to put the emphasis on the character that you're finding out when they think nobody is watching. What they're like when asked more difficult questions. There's something about how they might respond to that. And then just kind of keep your ear to the ground. You know, when I don't think college is a place that you can hide real well. You
right.
know, people are going to know, and they're going to talk about you. So pay attention to that. And they do. You know, I understand people are going to think that that's sleazy, but reality is it's a multi-million-dollar investment, and it's one that they could very easily lose their jobs if they get wrong. So they're going to utilize whatever's out there for them. I wonder, though, you're not talking yourself into a red flag in this situation. So it's more like for the people that haven't ruled themselves out yet, they're all going to seem like the greatest people on earth, you know.
Right.
To the degree that you want one over another, I think it comes down to just a gut feeling, and probably weighted more heavily with, our team needs this now and next year more than we need this other guy. So you can get into a lot of, internal conflict trying to talk yourself into or out of any one player. But I want to think they know every scenario that's going to come up that's going to land them one of these five players. By this point, I think they have a good idea of that. They're not going to cop to it, but when are you going to do it if not 9 days before the draft? You probably should be doing nothing but random scenarios with in-person, in-staff people that scout certain teams, kind of get a sense of the direction they're going to go in, or set stuff up in case this happens. You practice it all ahead of time, so when you're on the clock, it's not like a panic decision. You don't have to now decide this is what you want to do. That just doesn't seem like a good way to make a decision. So I think they can talk themselves out of it, but I think the smart teams prepare with a good idea in mind who it's going to be prior to going on the clock. And then, of course, you don't know what's going to happen. So I think we've talked about this at one point. I had a source inside the Steelers organization that said they had the framework of a trade agreed to but not finalized by both general managers between the Steelers and the Jets back in 2012. The Steelers were moving up from 24 to 16, and their target was David DeCastro. The Jets had their thought was they had kind of a wild card edge rusher that they wanted to draft that felt he would go probably until 24. So if they're back at 24, they felt pretty good they'd be able to still get their guy. So that's an ideal trade situation. Seattle surprised everybody by taking that surprise player, West Virginia's Bruce Irvin, at 15. So the Jets at that point said, no, deal's off. We're going to take Quentin Copples at 16. So the Steelers didn't have their trade. Just through that story alone, you can see the Steelers had a target, somebody that they felt, if he fell to a certain spot, they're going to go up and get him. And that, I think that's the thinking you need to have when it comes to the draft.
We don't always just sit here and just like run down like, hey, Neil, let's do a mock draft. We actually talk about some meat and potatoes here. So now, next week, we'll talk more about different players and scenarios with the draft. You are the best. You know it. At least in my opinion, you are.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulon. All right, this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai. North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.